Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
With Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Well, yesterday was Wow Wednesday. And we got started with our girl Vivian in the socially conscious segment. Well, COVID is the name of the game. All the top five states, all their numbers went up significantly. Not one low number in the house. And not one state lost any numbers. So we got to make sure we mask up because we don't want to have to listen to COVID PSAs and go back to quarantine, do we? Yeah. Well, come on. Let's help us stay healthy. Okay? All right. Well, what about the story about the 14-year-old who raped the 24-year-old woman in front of her child during a home invasion? Yes, young man, young boy, I should say, and his friend broke in a home, and while the friend went looking for things to steal, he decided to rape. Can you imagine? And in front of her child. We've been talking about these children. And I don't know. They have really been out of hand lately. What about the social media junkie? Yeah, that's what I'm calling her. Who had her home invaded while she went away to vacation and got back, and someone was still sleeping in her bed. Yes, a couple was found sleeping in her bed, took her on a tour of her home, showed her the way they got in, and told her, you need to fix this lock right here, the window lock. And she did not call 911 first. She pulled out a phone, recorded, and then post it to social media. Yes, Instagram had the story before the police did, possibly. And I don't know. That was her interest. We got to get our priorities together, people. You know, let's just take care of business first before we take care of the social media search. All right? All righty. Well, yesterday. Oh, yesterday, I gotta tell you, in all the moments and time. Wednesday, we've had our Women of Worship on. It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Oh, they really did their thing yesterday as we talked about how to overcome strongholds in our life. Yes. And oh, my goodness, they really pulled out all the big guns yesterday. No, your opponent is where they started. Oh, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And you need to know who you're fighting. How are you going to possibly win the fight when you don't even know who you're up against? I don't know. Okay. And we talked about truth and things. You know, the life and death is in the power of your tongue. Yes, it is. And you've got to really put that tongue into action. You know, the Bible tells us that that small member of our body causes the biggest problems. Yes, that tongue causes the biggest problems in our life. Well, not only can it cause the biggest problems in our life, but can you imagine? It can be the life saver. Yes, got to speak that thing into existence. And, you know, let the Lord know whose side you're on, and he will help to fight your battle. The little stronghold will definitely be broken. Isn't that what you want? All right. Well, listen, it's a speak and think. You got to think about this thing. Think about what's going on. Think before you speak. You know, there's the first stronghold that we talked about last week was the stronghold of anger. And, you know, the Bible tells us to be slow to speak, you know, because we really do some, you know, some damage while we're doing all that talking. So, you know, you need to think about what you're going to say before you say it. So, yes, you know, should it have been think and speak first? I don't know. Well, I guess it's according to who you are and what the stronghold is and how you maneuvering at the time. Okay? So that was a good one. That was a good one. Claim what's yours. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. All mine. Freedom. Freedom. Freedom from the stronghold. You know, got to break those chains. Got to break those chains. And, you know, you got to tell God that you want to be free. You got to speak to enemy. Tell enemy that freedom is yours, that Jesus is mine, all mine. You know, you got to make sure you do what you need to do. You can't let the stronghold take over you. And, you know, instead of you taking over the stronghold, you know, you serve a God that is mighty in battle. And, you know, there is nothing that we can do as long as we have Jesus by our side. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Might take you a minute. You know, I got to say, it might take you a minute sometimes. Sometimes, you know, we get into a rhythm of, you know, letting that stronghold take over, and, you know, we don't think or speak quick enough, and before you know it, we're being sucked in and we're drowning. And when you finally find your space, you are really in a group, and you really bust out and pull out those boxing gloves, and, you know, you get to fighting. And sometimes it takes you a minute. Yeah, you know, sometimes it takes you a minute. Now, I like to think that, you know, our minutes are getting shorter, you know, and we're bouncing back much quicker. But you know what? I got to say, we ain't got no bounce back time. Because by the time we bounce back, the enemy, we done all this kind of damage that, you know, sometimes irreparable. There is a thing called irreparable damage. And that happens a lot of times when we ain't got no bounce back quick enough. So we don't need to be bouncing back. We need to be able to think and speak, speak and think, know your opponent, get yourself together so, you know, when the time comes around that we realize that, you know, this thing here is a stronghold, that we can really just come out the gate swinging. And I mean swinging. And just giving God thanks for the times when we, you know, do get ourselves together. And, you know, God has held back so much damage from happening. He's kept the enemy at bay, you know, that he can't, hasn't done, you know, the biggest damage in our life. So we have a lot to give God thanks about. Don't you think? I would say so. All right. Well, we could not finish a Wednesday without having our Faith Over Fear segment. And, you know, we had that catch. Let me make sure I get it correctly. Is it catch up to your faith. And that's how we make sure we get that faith over fear going. Because, you know, we got to put that faith into motion and catch up to it. You know, sometimes we start drowning and faith goes to the wayside. We're so busy yelling, screaming, arguing and cussing and fussing and saying all kind of things that, you know, we kind of leave or let the faith leave us. If we catch up to the faith, we got, that means the faith is has left us. Or we've fallen back from the faith. And now we got to pick up and go meet it. So our Faith Over Fear segment with Pastor Charlotte was on point yesterday. And we got to make sure we get ourselves together. All right? All right. Well, today, it's Therapeutic Thursday, yes. Today we talk about our health, whether it's mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, finance, some kind of health. We're talking about it today. And I got a topic that, you know, I think is going to appeal and get the job done. And, yeah, let's get this party started, okay? So we get ready to take that break, and our Due Time crew will be joining us in a minute. And, you know, I got some news, and I got some stuff we're going to talk about. It's Cinco de Mayo, y'all. Yes, 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 yes. Yeah. Oh, my goodness gracious. Let's have a good time today, you know. We're almost there. And the week has flown by. I'm trying to figure out where in the world has the week gone. Oh, it's just gone. Let's catch up to it. Go get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you tell somebody it's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And let's get to making sure you don't go anywhere because we'll be right back.
According to South Korea's Ministry of Health, More than 600 cases of hepatitis A have been reported, mainly in Gyeonggi province and the cities of Seoul and Daejeon. The exact source of transmission is under investigation. Strict hygiene and food precautions are advised for travel to risk areas. The best way to prevent getting the infection is to receive the hepatitis A vaccine. These vaccinations are recommended for those who live in South Korea, as well as travelers going to South Korea and family members being stationed in South Korea. All service members receive the hepatitis A vaccine as part of routine vaccinations. Symptoms of hepatitis A include nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, fatigue, abdominal pain, yellow skin or eyes, and dark urine or clay stools. The best way to prevent hepatitis A infection is to get vaccinated. If you have questions about exposure, schedule an appointment with your healthcare provider.
Good morning, good morning, good morning again. Welcome back to A Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Therapeutic Thursday. Yes, today we talk about our health, mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, financial, whatever health we got going on today. We're talking about it. It's Thursday and we're almost through the week. We're on that other side of the week, and we're giving God thanks for safely bringing us through another week. You know, when we look around, the week has gone by, and you have to ask yourself, what have I accomplished? What have I gotten done? Have I grown any? Do I know anything more than what I knew yesterday? Have I gotten closer to the Lord? Since yesterday, you know, he did decide to give me another day, and I have another reason to celebrate God and give him my life and say thank you. And we should be having a good old time. You know, despite all that's going on in our life, you know, things may not be the best. People may not be acting the way they need to be acting or they should be acting. Or as they say, as we used to say, people ain't acting right, you know. But you know what? God is great nonetheless. He's brought us through. And I got some information for you all. So let's start getting that information, you know, get that pen out because you may not, you know, remember this stuff here. You know, we're getting a little older. We may not remember everything that we should be remembering. So I'm going to give you a second and get that pen out. I know I didn't warn you this morning. I know I didn't warn you. But you may want to take this, you know, down because it may not necessarily be you, but you know, you got to know this stuff for somebody, you know, else, someone else who didn't, you know, you may want to give them a reason why they need to listen to a Due Time with Pastor Steph. Okay. So this morning, we're talking about five things every child should know by the age of five. Five things every child should know by the age of five. Okay. You ready? All right. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. All right. Well, they say that every child should know their basic personal information. So that includes their first and last names, of their parents or guardians. You should not be asking a child, what's your mommy's name? And she says, mommy. No. And unless she's got some unique name, her mom's got some unique name like Bonquisha. Yeah, you know, please do not have a name like Stephanie, which there are a million and one Stephanies. Not only a million and one Stephanies, but a million and one Stephanie Griffins. You know, you want to make sure that they know the first and last name of their both their parents, you know, I guess if, you know, things are right between mom and dad. You know, they should know their street address and town or city. So, yes, they should know, you know, I live on or live at 1414 Mockingbird Lane. Okay. Bronx, New York. Okay. And they should know a phone number. Okay. Now, remember, they're five. So don't think that, you know, it's too much for them to know this, you know, this basic information, because if you ask them by 2 years old to work a tablet or a phone, they got you. They got you. So they should definitely know the highlights of their life, and that's mom and dad's first and last name, their first and last name, okay? They should know their full address, okay? Not 1212 Main Street, because there's 1212 Main Street, okay? And they should know a phone number, and more than likely a cell phone number. You know, a lot of people don't have phone numbers anymore, but make sure it's more than likely a cell phone number, okay? All right. Number two, what to do if they get lost. It happens. It happens. I'll never forget, I had a bus ride years ago, and that's a Shantice. Yeah, that's the name, Shantice, that you get your switch tips from. She had to be maybe about seven. If she was, yeah, she had to be about seven. She wasn't 5 years old. And she was with her aunt in Great Adventure. And they are so lucky. I heard about this story after the fact. Well, auntie lost niece. I ain't going to say the niece got lost. Auntie lost niece. And I'm going to tell you why I say niece didn't get lost. Auntie got lost. And it's funny because they do have little booths now that say lost parents. They don't say lost children. Well, I heard that somehow or another they got detached. And when she went back, I guess to the last point that she remembered where Shantice was with her, Shantice was still standing right there. Ah, look at God. I take no credit. Look at God. Okay. So they're saying, you know, 5-year-olds should have an innate sense of stranger danger. Okay. Not to take things from people, you know, and things like that, or not to, you know, talk to people who approach them. So they're saying if a child gets lost or separated from their parent or guardian, they should look for another mommy or daddy with a child or children and ask them for help. You know, and we're hoping that that's the safest move these days, because everything don't seem to be as safe as it used to be. But that would make sense. You know, more than likely, children who are with other mommies and daddies, you know, it is a safe move to make. And they say if they cannot spot one, teach them to look for without wandering from one spot. A person in a uniform, such as a police officer or a security guard, or someone with a name tag or, you know, or staff. You know, most places have uniforms. You know, when you walk in, you'll see the uniforms on the individual. So if they're, like, again, in an amusement park, you know, all of the staff have yellow shirts or blue shirts or, you know, green shirts. And, you know, don't just talk about this stuff, you know, when the child is at home. You know, yes, you talk about it when they're at home. Say, listen, we're going out, blah, blah, blah. But when you get to the place, you know, instead of when you walk in, everybody's looking around for the nearest cotton candy stand or their favorite ride or whatever it is. But make sure you discuss these things, okay? So, you know, God forbid we get attacked, detached. Here's what you do. Stand still. And if you don't look scared. Keep, you know, stay calm because I will find you. And if you don't see me, look for another mommy or daddy or child with a mommy or daddy and just, you know, stop them and let them know that, you know, your mommy is lost and you need to be, you know, attached to them again. Or if you see someone walking around with a uniform or, you know, a police or security guard, or if you see someone, you know, with that yellow shirt on. See all these people walking around with the yellow shirt? Well, they're here to help us. Okay? So, you know, yes, we do know that, you know, we've been hearing that, you know, it's not as safe. You know, people come in all shapes, forms, and sizes of danger. But we're not going to talk about that right now. I want to hear about that right now. Right now is not the time to bring that up. Okay? We're talking about some safety measures. And if the child knows the phone number, everybody has a cell phone. So, you know, if they attach themselves to another mommy or daddy, you know, with children or another child, they have a phone on them. 99.9% of the time, somebody has a phone. And you say, can you call my mommy? Okay? Teach them that. All right? So they don't panic. No time to panic. You can't even teach adults not to panic these days. All right? Number three, no answering the door without an adult present. So we're not talking about, you know, don't answer the door if I'm not home. Because at 5 years old, hopefully they're not home alone. This is not Kevin from Home Alone, okay, who had to deal with the burglars. We're talking about the average child who's not home alone. Teach them that when the doorbell rings, that they are not to go to the door, okay? Definitely don't open it up, you know, if there's a child, an adult near, they probably heard the door. But, you know, make sure that they alert you to the door, bell ringing or someone at the door, but not to answer the door themselves. Okay? All right. They say children by the age of 5 should know how to do simple chores, but with boundaries. Okay? So they're saying by the age of 5, they should be able to do little jobs that will give them a sense of pride and accomplishment. Okay? So right now, I don't know. You know, if you can think of something, help us out. 347-285-7777. Haven't heard from you lately. I know these last couple of episodes, we've really been doing a lot of listening because, man, the panel has been doing a lot of talking and they've been giving us something to think about. So we don't want to disturb them, but come on, give me a hand here. What is a simple chore that a child should be able to do by the age of 5 that gives them a sense of pride and accomplishment. Okay? All right. Something that's safe and has boundaries. Okay? All right. And what do they have as number five? To call 911 in case of an emergency. Do you know how many children have saved lives by calling 911 and the operator has helped to walk them through saving a life? It's happened quite often. Okay? So, you know, teach them 911, when to call, how to speak intelligently, how to listen. Oh, that's a big one, y'all. Yes, I'm going to take a second to talk about that. They need to learn how to listen, because if they're panicking or too busy speaking and not listening, then they will not be able to be of much help. All right? And teach them to learn, teach them to answer intelligently too. No ha and, speak. Open your mouth and speak. Speak intelligently. That's what we should also be teaching them by age of five, how to speak intelligently. So I'm throwing in that number six as a caveat. You know, teach them how to listen and how to answer intelligently. So if they need to call 911, they can be of true service. Because listen, you know, a lot of times these children are left with grandparents or, you know, people are getting ill suddenly, you know, more often. So you want to be able to equip your child, your niece, your nephew, your grandchild to be able to help when need be. All righty. So again, I'll take those. I don't know if Shantice has got any feedback from you listeners, but again, we're talking about what is a simple chore that a child by the age of five should be able to handle, but with boundaries. Okay, if you can think of something, please. Please, please give us a hand. You know, people may be needing your help. Okay? All righty. So, we've got the case of a young man who's on a plane, who's on a Frontier Airlines plane, and he's 24 years old. And he don't know how to behave himself. 23 years old, and he does not know how to behave himself. So I guess by the age of five, you should also know how to behave yourself. Get on the plane and learn how to behave yourself and keep your hands to yourself, because he had to be duct taped to a seat and subsequently arrested when they got to Miami, because he was groping the flight attendant. Yes. And thought he was slick. Thought he was quite slick. So the judge was not playing with him. They say that when he got on the plane, they have cell phone footage. Again, these people, they are not playing with their cell phone. They are catching everything with a cell phone. So they have him on videotape being real frisky with the, flight attendant. So you have him, it says that when he first started, he brushed up against his empty cup up against the backside of one female flight attendant. Okay. Then he acted as though he spilled something on his shirt, act like he had to go to the bathroom. And when he got up, he took his shirt off when he came out the bathroom and reached around and groped two of the flight attendant's breasts. And he came from behind them and made this move. Okay? Now, they were not having it. So they took to taping him, duct taping him to the seat and alerted the authorities when they got to Miami. And he is now sentenced to 60 days in prison, in jail, or whatever you call it, because people tell me, you know, there's a difference. You know, it's all the same to me. You had handcuffs on when you went up in there, it's jail. It's prison. I don't care what you call it. But they say that he got 60 days in jail. He's got, I believe, one year of supervised release. $15,000 fine. Now, here's the interesting part. The flight attendants didn't feel I was good enough. Nope. They were like, no, he should have spent more time in jail. So I don't know who he's paying the $15,000 to, whether it's to Frontier Airlines, whether it's to the court or whatever, but he's got 1 year of supervised release. And I definitely agree that he should get some supervised release time because, somebody like him only doing 60 days in jail, or he's going to be back in trouble. Yeah, I'm not buying that he's not going to be back in trouble. Nope, not at all. Not at all. I do believe that when you look up, some 60 days going to go by, he might get a little scare up in there. Yeah, he might get a little scare up in there, Jill. But no, no. He's gonna have problems. Well, hopefully, you know, afterwards, he won't. He won't. He'll learn his lesson. Okay, all right. Well, somebody needs to learn a lesson because they've got an Indian police arrested. Yes, he's a police officer who is arrested. Now, here's the thing. You have a young lady who shows up to the police precinct in India, and she said that she gets to the, let's say, precinct. And she tells them that she's been gang raped by four men. And instead of the guy helping her, the police officer helping her, he rapes her. Who does that? They say the next day the officer in charge of the local police station raped the girl when she went to the police station with her aunt to lodge a complaint. Now, how you get there with the aunt to lodge a complaint and then you get raped? She had already been gang raped, and then the police officer who was in charge of the police station rapes her. See, this is what I'm talking about when I say this ain't his first time. This ain't his first time. He didn't been in trouble before. And they say rapes and crimes against women have been in the spotlight since December of 2012 when a young woman was brutally gang raped on a bus in the capital, Delhi. She later died from injuries sustained during the attack. Yeah, they say they have been having big, big problems in India. They say in 2020, the last year for which crime data is available, 28,379 women and girls were raped in India. That's an average of a rape every 18 minutes. They have lost their minds. Well, you know, in these countries, they don't believe that women and girls are worth anything. That's all we are, somebody for you to get up and hump on. Yeah, for real. You get no respect. You have no value other than being a mother and someone to have sex with. That's it. That is it. Oh, yeah, maybe you could be a teacher. But other than that, you ain't nobody. You are nobody. So that's why I say, you know what? You need to definitely do what you need to do to protect yourself, because, you know, they are going out of their minds, okay? Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. What else are we talking about today? I had a few stories here. So we're talking about the teachers recently here, and, you know, how, you know, these are LGBTQ people have been going buck wild. Well, maybe you might call this some justice. Okay. They're saying that in Florida, a pansexual teacher. Now, these are the people who identify with, you know, they like anyone in any shape, form, or fashion. Yeah. They're attracted to all categories of people, regardless of their sex, gender, identity, or sexual orientation. And they say that the Florida teacher claims that children were asking her about her sexual orientation. Now, you must be doing something. Well, you know what? Let me take that back, because kids can ask you all kind of questions. But she said the children were asking her in the middle school. This was her first year teaching. And, you know, your first year in Florida, you're on probation. I don't know how it works here in New York, but they say that it was her first year. And the children in the middle school were asking about her sexual orientation. And she described it. And she said that she had them draw out their own sexual orientation. Now, she's married to a man. Okay, so it's not like she's married to another woman or anything like that. And she said that they created flags representing their own sexuality and gender identities, ranging from transgender and non-binary to gay. So she then posted the pictures on her classroom door, and administration came by and told her to take the pictures down. So she brought them up and she got rid of them. She said the next day she was notified that she would not be returning to campus and that her contract was terminated. Yep. So she lost her job, and she ain't too happy, because I guess she figured that she should have been able to do what she wanted to do with the kids. She should have been able to talk about what she wanted to talk about with the kids. She should have been able to let the children draw whatever they wanted to draw. Well, I guess they said no way. Well, remember, this is the same state where we have the, where they say don't say gay bill, okay? And that's to protect the children and the parents in the school. So they weren't having it. They were not having it. Okay. So you can't do what you want to do in the school. Thank you, God. Thank you. Somebody's got some control, and they have some boundaries that have been set. Yes, so I'm happy personally, because I'm tired of everybody being able to do what they want to do. All righty. Well, talk about people doing whatever they want to do. You have the Pennsylvania mom. Oh, Lord have mercy. And she's Asian, y'all. And I say this because we don't really hear about them in the news much. But she's 38 years old with boys 9 and 13. And she shot them in the head while they were sleeping. They say that this 38-year-old woman was busted for the senseless violence after she fled the shooting scene in a Newtown and in Newtown and drove to the parking lot of a nearby church. Oh, brother. So they have, at the time, they had the children on life support so that they could donate their organs. So I guess she signed because you just can't do that with people. But, yeah, they say that when she sat outside after she did it with the gun, and a neighbor from next door walked up to her and spoke to her, and she had some pictures in a box and gave the box of pictures to the neighbor and told the neighbor to give that to the kid's father because he worked with the kid's father. And when the guy got ready to walk away, she shot at him. Thank God the gun wouldn't go off. Yes. She pulled out her black revolver, aimed it at the man and pulled the trigger twice. But thank God the gun didn't go off. He wrestled the gun away from her. And supposedly she was under the influence of some type of narcotic. And she tried to kill herself, but that failed, thank God. And she was hospitalized and charged with 3 counts of attempted murder. Well, I guess until the boys officially were taken off of life support, it wasn't considered murder. So initially she would have been charged with 3 counts of attempted murder because she tried with the neighbor. He made number 3. And when they, you know, finish donating their organs, they will subsequently charge her with murder of the 2 children, 9 and 13. And like I said, we really don't hear a lot of this coming from the Asian community. And that's why I kind of wanted to point out that, you know, this was a little different today. Well, last but not least today, the last story is a Chicago dad. Oh, my goodness. Now, I don't know where he's from because his name is Muhammad Almaru. And he's been charged with first-degree murder in connection to his 17-year-old high school senior daughter. Yes. They don't have a lot of detail, but they say that the aunt called in and for some suspected murder. And when they went to the house, he appeared to be on some narcotics as well. And he was suffering from a self-inflicted wound on his wrist and throat. But he didn't die, thank God. So they arrested him, and they found on the lower level of the house the deceased 17-year-old daughter. And they said that it was so bad that the medical examiner could not specifically rule her cause of death. And she had multiple injuries, including serious bruising throughout her whole body when her body was discovered, and that she did not have just one injury. So this is some mystery to the medical examiner, and they said she was a beautiful young lady. She had a promising career. She was going to graduate in a couple of weeks. And now she, you know, is being severely missed by her friends in the school and, you know, all the people that knew her. You know, what is this thing with these parents killing these children? I don't know. I don't know. You know, every day I say the same thing to you all. I don't know. I don't know. Because at one point you just become just sheer speechless. You don't even know what to say anymore. You don't know what to say anymore. Well, let me get to my due time crew. Let's say good morning to Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today, my love?
I am well, thank you. I am well, I'm well, I'm well, I'm well, I'm well. How are you today?
I'm well, too. Amen.
Good day. All right. Thank God. Thank God. Well, listen. I'm going to come back. I understand we do have a comment from the listener in this, and I'm going to ask you, what do you think a child, what kind of chore a 5-year-old child should be able to have that's safe? By the age of 5.
Well, cleaning up behind yourself. A lot of these kids now don't do that. They use something, their toys, get out their clothes, and they leave them right there. So my children had to clean up behind themselves. That was their chore.
Okay. Now, do you think this gives them a sense of pride and accomplishment?
Absolutely. I'm learning early how to be clean and being able to be take pride in your clothing and learning how to be responsible.
Okay. Okay. All righty. Pastor Charlene. Are we talking about the passenger on the plane? Because I want to know, what do you think? Well, you know what? I'm going to talk about the passenger on the plane who was groping the airline attendant, the flight attendant. They said they don't feel that 60 days was long enough in jail. So it's 60 days in jail. And, you know, I always ask you all this. I always like to get your ideas. 60 days in jail, a year of post-supervised release, and you have $15,000 fine. Do you think that, because they're challenging the time in jail, do you think 60 days in jail is good enough along with the other two things, or he should have gotten more time, and why? Or why not?
I think that he should have more time because it's easy for him to come out and continue to grope other people. I think that it needs to be some kind of a lesson where that you need to learn how to keep your hands to yourself. Now, while he's in there 60 days, somebody might teach him that a little more and his hands be a little messed up. But and I think the reason why he needs to spend more time, to give him something to think about, and then for him to be able to find, let's figure out why you like to feel on people that you should not. Because I know that on the train, when I was riding the train, that was the main opportunity to do that because the train is crowded. And you know what you're doing. It's not like you don't know what you're doing. So I think that he should, something with his hands. Something needs to be done with them hands.
Okay, okay. All right, so I'm asking our listeners, 347-285-7777. What do you think that 60 days is good enough along with the one-year post-release supervision and $15,000 fine, or he should still get more time even though he's getting those, you know, subsequent punishment? Pastor Charlotte says no. What do you say? Okay. So remember, now I got two things that are out there. I need to know, what do you think is a fair and safe challenge for the children to be able to do by the age of 5? And what should the young man get who couldn't keep his hands to himself? Okay? All right. Now, Pastor Charlotte, we're talking about either the police officer who was in charge of the police precinct who raped the young lady after she came there reporting being gang raped, or you've got, what's the other one? Hold on. Let me make sure about this right, because there's three more. The Pennsylvania mom charged with shooting the two young boys in the head as they slept.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to take out both of them. So let's go with the mother of this constantly of killing these children. My thing is, why you just don't kill yourself and leave the kids alone? These drugs that they, because when these people are taking these drugs, because you said she had drugs in her as well, right?
Yep, she had drugs in her system.
Okay, so now when it has to get some kind of way that we know that these children are in danger, because they're going to school, they're going to the doctors, well, should be, going to the doctors, and then you have the neighbors, you know, and people, and then you have your family. So somewhere in there you should know that these people are on drugs and where that they are harmful to the children. It's not going to be the first time of somebody just trying to shoot to kill somebody. It's always something that's going to show, as we say, red flags before that time comes. So my thing is, shoot you. Leave the babies alone. You know, they're already going to have trauma anyway because you're going to leave. You're not going to be here. But let them stay and be able to live. And for her to shoot at the neighbor, right there was a, you know, it's not your first time of knowing that. Because neighbors are nosy.
All righty. And you have either the teacher who was fired for getting the children to draw the flags of their own sexual orientation, or the dad who's responsible for killing the 17-year-old daughter.
Let's go to the school. This is not a sex education. They don't teach that no more. That was in our day. How dare you come into and teach my child, regardless of the questions that these kids ask you, because you said middle school, so that's like 13, right? What is my granddaughter?
Yeah.
Yeah, 13,
yep.
Middle school. Okay. So
yep, 11,
you
12,
have these 13. Okay. So you have these children that don't even know which way they're going, because, you know, kids, today they want to do this, to later on that same day they're trying to do something else. So how dare you? First of all, I thank God that somebody stood up and they did fire her. Second, when you have them draw this and put this on the outside, that gives the opportunity for some other children to be able to attack them as well. Then on top of that, we don't send our children to school for that. Whatever your job was, teach that. You don't have to go no further than that. And here goes another of the teacher trying to be their friend. Because that's just what you're doing. You're trying to be their friend because you're getting in their personal business. We didn't send them there for that. So, yes, she should have been fired.
Okie dokie. I agree, Pastor Charlene. I agree. I definitely agree. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're so happy to have you on with us. Let's talk to our brother Al this morning. Good morning, Brother Al.
Oh, yeah, good morning. And we got our daily quote. Be the change that you want to see the world. In order to change the world, we must change ourselves. That's by my man Gandhi. Oh, yeah, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Brother Al. Good morning, Brother Al. Glad to have you on with us this morning. Brother Al, by the age of five, what a safe chore that 5-year-old should be able to do that will help to give them pride and a sense of accomplishment.
At the age of five, I would say cleaning your room, making your bed, making sure your clothes is put up. I think that's safe.
Okay, so that's another one. We're cleaning up behind themselves. Okay. All right. We got this viral passenger who's been charged with, groping the flight attendant. The judge gave him 60 days of jail time. He's got $15,000 of penalty, and he's got 1 year post-supervised release. What is the 60 days good enough? Or no, why not?
I would say give him more time, and the reason I say that is because, you violated those women. These women are on the plane to do their job, and then you're going to come up there and grope them, just violated their privacy. And again, that's making you, that's in the thing of saying, hey, we can do this. Oh, 60 days? Okay, sure, I could do 60 days in the county prison or whatever. But I can get to do what I want. No, they need to make it extensive so people will know, hey, listen, you can't violate these women like that. What's wrong with you? I said sit in the penalty.
Okay. How much time should he get?
Listen, 60 days was 2 months. I would say 6 months. Give him 6 months. Because that'll make somebody think, whoa, so if I touch a woman, I get 6 months? Nah, I ain't doing that. 6 months.
Okay, 6 months is what Brother Al says. All right, Brother Al, we're talking about the police officer who was responsible for raping the lady who came in and said she had been gang raped by 4 other men at one time. Or we've got the Pennsylvania mom who was charged with shooting the 2 young guys in the head as they slept. 9 and 13 years old.
Man, they both crazy. But I think I didn't hear the full story on both of them. But let's go with the one that shot the two kids. Well, the two people. Yeah, the two kids while they were sleeping, and she shot them.
They were her two sons. While they were sleeping, she was on drugs. And she shot the two of them in the head. They were on life support at the time of the report until their organs were donated. When she was found sitting on the curb next door, a next-door neighbor came over. She gave him the box of pictures. to give to their father and subsequently pulled the gun on him, pulled the trigger twice, but the gun didn't go off. And then she tried to later kill herself, and she was unsuccessful. So that's her story.
Well, yeah, she needed to spend the rest of her life in prison because, well, you know, again, I just said spend the rest of her life, but she should get some serious time and some counseling while she's getting that time, because if you just give her some, you know, just give her some jail time and the problem is not, the drug problem is not fixed, when she get out, she's going back to the drugs. So she needs to be in prison, be put away, but also get help while she's put away.
Okay, okay. Well, you got the Florida teacher who's lost her job because she got the children to draw flags representing their sexual orientation, or the father who killed his daughter, and they can't even determine the cause of death because she suffered such multiple injuries. Which one are we talking about?
Well, you know me, I'm going to go with the school. The other one is crazy tragic too, but I'm going to go with the school. Did she get fired? Yes, she should. And I say that because the simple reason is that, you know, I work in the school and I see how, you know, they can talk about this gay and lesbian stuff so openly and they can do it. But as soon as I say something about religion, they ready to nail me to the cross. So you know what? Make it all around for everything. Yes, she should be fired. I can't talk about religion. You can't talk about your sexual orientation because I don't want to hear it.
All righty. Nice, short, swift, simple, and sweet. No religion, no sexual orientation. I agree, Brother Al. That's Shantice's argument all the time. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back because we got more to talk about. Let's talk to our girl, Tamika. Good morning, Tamika. How are you?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I am doing well. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I am well. We're talking about what should a five-year-old, what's a safe chore for a five-year-old to do that gives them a sense of pride and accomplishment?
I would say learning to count change, you know, like when you give them a dollar, you know, how much they're supposed to get back, you know, those type of things. I think that's helpful.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Okay, that's different. That's different. All right. Well, we got the officer who's accused of raping the young lady who came to report a gang rape of four men, or the mom who's charged with killing her sons in their sleep. Because that's what I'm going to say. They're going to end up dead anyway, so I'm saying it just like that.
I'm going to go with the officer. You know, absolutely no compassion for what this lady had gone through, and to add insult to injury, you know, I'm going to do the same exact thing. You know, I often wonder, you know, okay, where was the aunt when all of this transpired, and why couldn't you get help? There was nobody else, just this one police officer. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, you know, you know, when you look at these movies and things like this, and we leave the country and go to these other countries, a lot of times, you know, they don't have like a police force, you know, where they got all these people in the office and stuff like that, like we do. And I guess he's accustomed of, you know, to maybe leaving, let's say, the aunt in the waiting room, because that's the first thing I wanted to know. Where was she? You know, she was in the waiting room and maybe pulled her to the back, and somehow or another, you know, got to this young lady. But yeah, this is crazy where you can't even trust the officer to help you. This is really a bit much. Okay, are we talking about the teacher in the school who posted the children's sexual orientation flags, or the father who is accused of murdering his daughter.
I'm going to go with the teacher. How dare you? You know, my thing is, if that's how you want to live your life, you go right ahead. But this is how the agenda gets out. And, you know, if you're not cognizant of the subtleties, you know, some part is subtleties and the other part is I know exactly what I'm doing. And, you know, I don't think that that's fair, you know. And, you know, firing her? Yeah. I mean, you know, you have an agenda. This is what you're assigned to do. Do what you're paid to do, not adding anything extra.
All righty. Nice, short, and sweet. Do your job. That ain't your job. All righty, Tamika. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll be back to talk about our main topic. All right. Let's talk to our girl, Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning. How are you?
I am okay, thank you. You're not on speakerphone, are you?
Yes, is this better?
Much better. Thank you so much. We got comments from the listeners, do we?
Yes, we do. In regards to a
You're breaking up. Can you go to a different location?
Can you hear me?
You're breaking up still.
Give me 1 second. Is this better?
Nope.
Okay, 1 second, 1 second, 1 second. Is this better?
Nope.
Okay, hold on.
It's me, because everyone else is coming through clearly.
Does it sound a little better?
Hold on. No. One more try. Let's give this one more try.
Does it sound a little better?
Oh, much better. Much better. Thank you.
Okay, so in regards to what the 5-year-old should be able to do, one listener sent in, children can clean dishes. Give them a stool and let them wash their dish. Children can clean their room. Every night set an alarm for a certain time and tell them the sound means clean your room. Make putting their tablet or iPad on the charger a job. Let the child be a safety monitor. Kids love telling people what they're doing is wrong and always in someone else's business. Give them a job title. Give them a job title. They'll take that this is serious and helps them be safe also.
Oh, I like those. I like those. I take the point, listener. I take your point. Okay. What else you got? Some other listener comments?
Yes, in regards to the same thing, children should be able to set the table, put their things away, make their beds to the best of their abilities, feed a pet with time management help, clear tables, and make simple meals like a sandwich.
Okay. I like that. All right. I like that sandwich thing. Keep them busy,
yep.
Too. All
yes.
Right. Any other comments? We had the time or the punishment for the passenger. Did we get any comments on that?
Yes, a listener sent in, cut his hands off. That's what the Bible says.
Oh, well, they say it's better for you to pull the eye out opposed to the whole body going to hell. So I guess this is going with that. All right, listener. All right. Was that before Jesus or after Jesus?
Right.
All righty. All right, Shantice. What would be your suggestion for, you know, for a child to be able to do a chore by the age of 5 that would give them a sense of pride and accomplishment?
I would say giving them the job title of, like, assisting you around the house. You know, they love knowing that they helped you organize something in a common area of the house, or whether it's the shoes that you keep by the front door or setting the dining room table, you know, something that's visible to everyone. Because, you know, they love being able to say, oh, I helped mommy with that, or I helped so-and-so with this. So to have them do things that, in addition to their own stuff, because ain't nothing like teaching someone how to clean up behind themselves, but also something that everyone in the house can see.
All right. I like. Okay. Now, when it comes to the passenger on the air, and on the airplane, what do you think that 60 days is enough? Why or why not?
No, I think he should have gotten a few years, because, you know, you're violating someone in multiple ways, and 2 months in jail is nothing for a lot of people. You know, for me, that would be like 60 years. But for a lot of people, that's nothing. You should be able to do some time to really be away from society. Go in jail and start humping. Tell me how that works for you.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All righty. Okay, do we have the police officer who is the accused rapist? Or do we have the mom who shot the children in the head while they slept?
The mom who, oh my goodness, who killed her babies. It is really like the enemy whispering in your ear, and you just choosing, okay, this is what I'm going to follow. You know, or you having these thoughts and you not checking these thoughts. No, either way, you know that thought didn't come from God, either from you or the enemy. And when you don't know what it is to combat your thoughts and to check your thoughts and to immediately talk to God about your thoughts, you end up going through with plans like this. And I just feel so sorry for those boys. Unfortunately, that it happened, and then unfortunately that they didn't pass away immediately, because we don't know what they're feeling. You know, we don't know what, you know, we've heard stories of people getting shot in the head and not dying immediately. I can't even imagine the pain or the thoughts that's going through your head. You know, while you thinking you just going to bed for the night, you getting up, going to school the next morning, and here's someone, let alone your mother, just comes in and shoots you in the head. It is just like, I can't, I'm happy she was not able to kill herself. When you said it wasn't successful, I was like, thank you, Jesus, thank you. Because this really needs to be, you know, her locked away in also serious mental rehab that she needs. Only God could say how she would be able to go on with any type of life after she knows she did this.
Okay. And we're talking about the teacher. The teacher with the children's drawing with their sexual orientation in the middle school, or the dad who killed his daughter and he did such damage that they can't even figure out what the cause of death is.
Again, these parents. I don't know. They didn't say, like, he gave a reason, right? I mean,
no,
what kind of reason would it be?
They did not really give any real detail. I think that the biggest shock was how often can you not find the cause of death? And to think that this was your parent who did this type of committed this kind of deed against their child.
Right. And again, a child who, you know, and it's crazy because, I mean, you should never ever want to kill your child. I just find it very interesting, and this is how I believe we can gauge when these thoughts really come from the enemy, right? All these rotten kids out here, they ain't the ones getting killed. It's all the kids with the promising future. It's all the kids that are decent. It's all the kids that are lovable. We ain't talking about the bullies getting killed by their parents. We ain't talking about the 8-year-old who's setting the other 6-year-old on fire who got killed by his mother. It's the promising children. And this is why I say we really need to pay attention to where our thoughts stem from. Pay attention. How crazy is it that anytime we hear that these parents killed these kids, even a while ago, Pastor Steph, when you gave the story of the father who killed the teenage son because he was, like, being loud about needing his meds. You know, it wasn't that he was irate and he was, you know, destructive and all that in the house. He needed his meds, you know, and
right.
It wasn't even described like, you know, it was a bad thing. It was just like, oh, okay, you know, he was just a tad bit annoying, you know, but it's really pay attention to that. Nobody's killing their kid who's rotten, who's bad. I just had a teacher tell me the other day, last week, she said, some of these second graders, I wish they could graduate now. Like, forget waiting for fifth grade. Can we have a graduation ceremony for them now? You know,
wow.
So it really says a lot for why is it that side isn't being attacked, but the other side, the ones who could possibly influence even before you get to being a Christian influencer, you know, the children, because, you know, children in our church, they're now bringing other kids to the church. Before you even get to that point, just kids who could possibly influence other kids to do good. And then you talk about the kids who know to now talk to other kids about God. It's like, you need to really understand where those thoughts are initially coming from.
Good point. Really, really, really good point, because I don't ever remember us doing a story in 2 years of a parent killing a child who they had to go and reprimand, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
or they were reprimanding the child, or they went overboard, or, you know, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. It is something that we have to really pay attention to. Wow. Well, today's conversation, I want to discuss, you know, how they're talking about betrayal. And I think a couple of our stories are about betrayal. You know, you betrayed your children. You know, you thought that, you know, you could trust your parents. You thought you could trust the teacher. You thought you could trust the police officer. And you can't trust anybody. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're talking about people who trusted and were betrayed by their best friends. And I've got either or, okay? So we've got number one, stole his brand new bike. He says, my dad got me a really nice bike. My dad never bought me anything, so it wasn't just a nice bike to me. It went missing, so I spent a couple of days looking for it. I found it in a creek near my house. It had been thrown off the bridge, and the front tire and fork was bent. I went over to my best friend's house to tell him what happened. His older brother made him tell me that it was my friend who had thrown the bike in the creek. I was stunned. I asked him why, and he said, that bike was too good for you. You don't deserve it. Was that a bigger betrayal? Then I opened a drawer in her house and recognized my jewelry trinket. I looked at it all, took back my mother's ring, and left. For 3 years, this person stole from me. I was her only friend. I'll never understand it. Pastor Charlotte, the bike or the jewelry?
Jewelry.
Why?
And you said it's the mother's.
She said, I took back my mother's ring.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead, say it again.
I took back my mother's ring and left.
Well, they both value. And the reason I just said jewelry is because of by it being, well, both of them are sentimental, but I figured that the boy can get another bike. But the jury, you might can't, because you don't know if the mom is still alive or not. So that's So that's why I said the jury.
Okay. Brother Al, what's the biggest betrayal, the bike or the jury?
So I heard some of it, but I'm gonna go with the items were stolen, right?
Yes.
Was stolen? Okay.
But the bike was thrown into the creek because the friend said the bike was too good for you. You don't deserve it.
Right. I'm gonna say the jury. The way I said the jury. Some people got a jury that's sentimental. You know, all this money I paid for this ring, and you don't throw it in the garbage. I'll mess you up. I'm gonna go with the jury because, like Pastor Charles said, you can get another bike. We get another bike, but that jury, that might be something for my mother or something that I never can get back.
All righty. Lady Tamika, what are we talking about? What's the biggest betrayal, the bike or the jury?
I'm going to say the bike. And the reason why I say the bike is not only did you take the item, but you threw it over into a river or a body of water and then had the nerve to look me in the face and say, it's too good for me. I don't deserve it. How dare you? You know, I think that's lower because, you know, on top of the insult, you put that to add to it.
Okay. Shati, what's the bigger betrayal, the bike or the jury?
I said the jury because it sounds like the bike incident was between kids, and even though that was very tragic, with the jury, you're talking about two adults. And if you say that I was her only friend, then that means she probably tested you in another area before. And you've noticed before, like, I'm the only one who's willing to put up with her. And now you're stealing something that could be very sentimental to me, something that can be an heirloom that I could not buy back because these rings and whatever else could have been handed down from generation to generation, and that's irreplaceable. And it's like at this point, you get to a certain age, it's like ain't nobody really trying to make no new friends. So I would say the jury was the biggest betrayal.
Okay. All right. She helped end a 30-year marriage. My friend had an affair with my dad, causing my parents to divorce after 30-plus years. Now they're married, and he has nothing to do with us. My sister and his 6 grandsons. Or she told everyone about her friend's pregnancy without permission. At the age of 16, I found out I was pregnant and told her in confidence. Being very young and less than 12 weeks pregnant, I didn't want others to know yet. A couple of weeks later, someone said they had heard I was pregnant. She had told them. I didn't speak to her for a year for breaking my trust. A year later, we bumped into each other with baby in tow, and we stopped and chatted. Both agreed we missed each other. She then said it was a stupid reason we fell out anyway. That was the end of that friendship, and haven't seen or spoken to her since. This was 20 years ago. I don't feel I over-exaggerated. If you can't trust your best friend with a huge secret, then they don't deserve to be your friend. What was the biggest betrayal? Brother Al, was it the ending of the 30-year marriage with the parents? She told a friend's pregnancy.
Wow, I'm gonna go with the parent, man. 30 years, and you gonna come in there and with the grandkids and mess up the family, and then got the gall to marry him. I think that was the biggest betrayal. Okay, you told somebody that she was pregnant. Now, okay, they're going to find out with God. You ain't going to hide that butt so long. But, yeah, I'm going to say the biggest betrayal to me is they messed up the marriage.
All righty. Oh, who are we talking to? Tamika, what was the biggest betrayal, the marriage or the pregnancy?
I'm going to go with the marriage trick. because, you know, just like, Brother Al said that, you know, you can only hide pregnancy so long, you know, and, you know, it's going to be shown whether I tell it, you know, you tell it, or wherever. But, you know, I felt like you're lurking. You're sitting there waiting for a marriage. That's a long time to wait. But, you know, for you to sit, stand by and wait. But people do all kinds of crazy stuff in this world that we're in. And then after all of that, you marry him. So I just, this world, we definitely need Jesus more and more, more and more.
Okay. Shanti, what's the biggest betrayal, the marriage or the pregnancy?
The marriage. That's just nasty. I cannot sit and look at my friend marry my father, let alone you marrying my father and interfering with the relationship he currently has with my mother. I don't see how y'all think y'all would have a peaceful relationship.
Okay. Pastor Charlene, marriage or pregnancy?
Marriage, because you destroy multiple people in the, of what you have done. And how long you been checking my father out?
Mm. Woo, that was unanimous. All righty. Woo. One, they didn't show up to the wedding. They ghosted me as my best man in my wedding. They've never reached out since. I found a new best friend that day. Or he told their ex confidential information. Dude was telling my ex some personal stuff I was sharing with him in confidence. Something about her doing some petty things in order to get to me. Found out because she was posting about it, making fun of me on Twitter, and twisted things to make it look pretty pathetic. Texted him about it, and he told me, "Raw." Pretty disappointing, but whatever. A few days later, he tried to apologize through text. Didn't even read it. Which was the bigger betrayal? The wedding or telling the ex the information? Tamika.
Yeah, don't go telling my information. You know, the sad part about that is we have to really be careful who we trust with information. And I'm not saying that you're wrong to verbalize. However, you got to be real careful who you give your information to. And unfortunately, you know, part of that is the individual who chose to use that individual as a confidant. It's partly their fault. However, if you ask me, I say that's the greater shame.
Okay. Shanti, the best man at the wedding or telling the ex confidential information?
I would say the confidential information. You know, you have your wedding party. Yes, that is really important. At the same time, they ain't the one getting married. He ain't steal the ring, you know, so you ain't got to worry about that. But as far as, like, you telling my personal business, you going back, so obviously y'all sleeping together. But now it's like everything I confided in you with, now you're going back and telling whomever for what. Yeah, no.
Okay. Pastor Charlene, which is the bigger betrayal, the best man or the confidential information?
I would say the information, confidential information, because of the fact that when I pull my heart out to you and you're supposed to be my friend, it's not supposed to go no further than right there. It should not be at your dinner table. It should not be to no one else. And far as the wedding, you already showed me that you're not my friend when you didn't show up. So I can tie it on the dog and he can walk it down the aisle. He turns you to the ring.
Woo! All righty. Brother Al, which is worse? Which is the biggest betrayal, the best man or the confidential information?
or the confidential information. That's confidential. That's like you working for the FBI. I gave you confidential information, and you took it and you used it against me. You have committed treason. You committed treason. So I would say that.
Okay, okay. Brother Al, can you tell of the biggest betrayal that you've ever experienced?
Come back to me for a second.
Okay. Pastor Charlotte, biggest betrayal?
When my children turned their back on their mother. Because of my mother. My mother had a big part in it of telling them something, and they choose to believe her. And they stopped talking to me for quite a while.
Okay, okay. Lady Tamika, biggest betrayal?
Someone tried to get access to some really private information that when my mother passed away, they were trying to get a hold of some documentation that could have really put me in a major bind and would have caused me to be beholden to them.
Wow. Okay. Brother Al, can you talk?
Yes. Yeah.
Biggest
so
betrayal.
I say the biggest betrayal is my children. My children. I've taken care of them and went broke and did everything a parent's supposed to do, and then they're at a point where they don't even speak to me. Especially my oldest son. You know, his mother got some things against me. She told him a whole bunch of things, and he believed it. So he haven't spoke to me in like 2 years. So I just, like I said, I put it in guard there.
Okay. Shanti, your biggest betrayal?
I would have to say mine was when I was dealing with someone and they started dealing with someone else that they introduced me to and had me around the person and allowed me to get close to them until everything just blew up.
Okay. Let's twist this thing here. Brother Al, you probably are the first one that needs to go. When have you betrayed someone? And when you thought back, you was like, that was really me. I really did that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm going to tell you that. I betrayed somebody when I was with my son and mother, and she kept doing stuff to me. We had broke up, and I was... At that point in my life, I was very, very revengeful, and I slept with her sister.
To
get revenge. And I look back at that, and I'm like, what was I thinking? Was I that? But did revenge have me that bad to do that? And I look back at it, and I regret it. Every time I think about it, I regret it.
Did she find out, Brother Al?
Oh, yeah, she found out because I threw it in her face because I wanted her to hurt. I wanted her to hurt as much as she had hurt me. So I threw it in her face.
Now I see why you say every time you think about it.
Yeah, that wasn't cool.
Wow.
That wasn't cool.
Wow. Oh, okay, thank you for your honesty. Lady Tamika.
I remember dating two gentlemen that lived in the same building. For me, you know, I thought that they would never find out about each other because they hated each other. But one lived on one floor and the other one lived two floors beneath, you know. And I just happened to see one of them and he was like, hey, what you doing here? I was like, oh, I was just coming to surprise you. It was just a lot of work and it's too much work trying to deceive. It's so much easier being honest. You know, and it all kind of backfired on me anyway, so.
And did they find out about one another?
It took him a while, but, yeah, you know. And whenever I saw the other one, it was like, oh, I was coming to surprise you. I got tired of telling that lie. You know, it's a whole lot of lies and a whole lot of cover-up and, you know, trying to be in two places at the same time. You know, it didn't work. It wasn't that bad because they lived in the same building, but, you know, I tell one, oh, no, I can't meet you right there because I got something I got to do. What do you mean you got something that you got to do? Then you got to think on your feet. It's a lot of work, extra work that you – it's not – yeah. I just don't understand how people do this on a regular basis. It's too tiring.
Woo! Pastor Charlotte.
Tamika, we must have been running together, girl. Well, mine was a little more interesting. Both of them, I was dating these two guys the same time, and I made everybody feel it. They was the only one and the only one. And so one day I was supposed to, one came a little earlier because I was going, I were both of them on the same day, and they were both parked behind each other. And I, in my building, you either come out the front or you come out the back, but the street is to the back. So I saw one, didn't see the other. And then I had to come into the building, and once I came into the building, I tried to act like, you know, I needed more time because I wanted the other one to pull his car off. So I almost got caught. I didn't, but then the next time I did get caught, though, because I had to fess up that it wasn't me. Because my theory was always, if you ain't touch me, and I turned around and it was me, it wasn't me. That was always my thing. I don't care if you thought that was
Saggy.
But it wasn't me.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. That's gracious. Whoa.
That's work. That is work. Oh, my goodness. Shanti.
Yeah. I think the worst thing for me was with that same situation I just referred to in the first part of the question, when I conspired to get the girl hurt, and I then called you to, I don't know what made me call you and tell you about it. Who does that? And then you stopped me from, well, not, you didn't really like say like don't do it, but everything you said was pretty much saying don't do it, and that had me call it off. So yeah, I mean, that was I think that was the one time like I really allowed my mind to like really go to like, oh, I could get this girl. Well, we being transparent, I planned on getting the girl raped, and I called, my mother wasn't a pastor at the time, but she was in the Lord, and I believe she would have said this anyway, even if she wasn't in God yet, but yeah, I don't know what made me call her on her job and tell her that this was my plan. Like, who does that? But that was the Lord. See, the Lord was moving in me. I didn't even realize it. That was the Lord, and when she spoke to me, that just, like, really had me call it off. So I had to go back to all the boys and tell her, all right, don't go over there, don't do it, don't call her, don't go to her house, don't go to her school, don't, because I gave them address to everything. I was like, this is the school she go to, this is where she lives, it's her phone number. Yeah, I had it all planned out.
I just got a headache all over again.
Oh, God.
That's the pastor style.
Wait, what was that?
And that's the pastor's child.
I wasn't, and like she said, I wasn't a pastor then. Oh, my goodness. I just got a headache all over again. Oh, my goodness. You know, I think you
And this is how you take care of our daughter.
This is what happens when you don't know who your father is.
This is what happens when you hide me.
You know, thank you all for your candidness. You know, I'm only imagining the listeners, you know, how this has made them reflect
on maybe some of the stuff that they have done, maybe things that they had forgotten that they had done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I really appreciate your candidness. And I give God thanks for your contribution today. And I pray you all have a blessed day.
Thank you, too.
Everyone,
you
too,
have
well.
A blessed day.
Have a great one.
Thank you. Do the same. Thank you. All righty. Woo, my goodness gracious. Being a mother. Talk about betrayal. Talk about betrayal. You know, now that I was going to read a benediction, but taking into consideration that there might be a whole lot of people that need to get on their knees right now, we can hold hands and hold hearts and pray for them. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you. Thank you for just being kind enough to breathe the breath of life into each of us today and giving us an opportunity, another chance to get it right. I want to say to you, thank you, God, for another chance to get it right. We have four testimonies just now, God, of betrayal, revenge. And you have given each of them, including myself, another chance to get it right, God. And this just shows why. Oh, this just goes to show why you're such a perfect God. Oh, just goes to show why you're such a merciful God. This just shows how. You're such a merciful God. This just goes to show why you need to be such a merciful God and why we need to really take time to give you thanks, to look beyond our faults and finding our needs. Thank you, God. If we just stop at the four stories, dear Heavenly Father, we can, you know, we can really come before you, God, humbly saying thank you, because when we look at our former life, we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for just throwing our sins in the sea of forgetfulness, wiping the slate clean, forgiving us for what we've done, and why your sons sacrifice was so needed, because we needed an opportunity to have a right to the tree of life. Thank you, God. Thank you. Because, you know, when we were in our former lives and living these things and doing these things, we didn't get an opportunity to step outside of ourselves and just take a look. Just take a glance, just survey and assess what was going on in our lives, what was going on in our heads, what was being done at the time that was, you know, we thought light of, or we made, you know, we really just downplayed. But now when we get a chance to look back at who we were, and the type of lives we were living, thank you, God, for Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your son. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice, for just dying on the cross for us, God. Thank you for loving us so much that you just gave us another chance to get it right. And these are just one instance, you know, out of our lives that we can speak of, but how you've blessed us over and over and over again, how you've forgiven us over and over and over again, how you have loved us and shown us kindness over and over and over again, God, we just can never thank you enough. We just could never thank you
for what you've done, and thank you. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for waking us up every day with brand new mercies. And we can't imagine who we would be or what we would be without you. We say thank you. We say thank you for us. And we say thank you for all the listeners who can't say thank you in our hearing right now. But we give you the glory and the honor to rightly do your name. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You know, it's... We give you thanks, oh God. You know, when I think of some of the stuff that I've done and some of the things, you know, that we talk about here on this due time, you know, and how God continually just, you know, blesses us. You know, we it's like you say to yourself, like, whoa, was I there? Or did I do that? Or, you know, when you really survey your life and you think, if God had closed my eyes at that time, where in the world would I be? Where in the world would I be? Some of the stuff we look at and we laugh and we, you know, we think about, you know, sometimes you walk in and you'll hear a song or, you know, you'll see a movie or somebody will tell you something and, you know, you don't, you look at, you know, what you've done and you're like, wow, I did that? Or, boy, I remember when I did that. Excuse me. And you think about, you know, all the stuff that, you know, God has just kind of wiped, you know, away. And, you know, when you look at the verse that says he does not deal with us according to our iniquity, it's like, wow. Wow. What a great God. Thank you, Father, for just loving us the way you do. And I'm not left speechless very often, but when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. You know, and saving me is like so broad, you know, not just saving me, you know, I'm saved, you know, I've given my life to the Lord, but just what you've come through, what you've come from, you know, how, what it took for me to get here, you know, how I was preserved, how I was preserved where I could have been, like, jacked up. I really could have been messed up, you know, had I gotten out of that, come out that apartment door and, you know, he was a crazed individual and I didn't know. And he ended up stalking me and killing me, or he ended up, you know, snapping my neck, or, you know, or when I, you know, got out of that car, or, you know, some of the other stories that have been told here, when we think about some of the stuff we've done, and you think about how, you know, I didn't have to make it, you know, but I did, but I only made it because Jesus was begging for my life. And God had a plan for me. And he knew that I would be on a broadcast, you know, because somebody recommended me or referred me or because I was dating someone and I was listening in and I called in and God pointed me out, or because, you know, I just was randomly on a list and, you know, that person called me and I called back and, you know, we started talking and, you know, we became buddies, and or because I was the daughter of, and because, you know, God woke me up one day and said, you know, I want you to get on, you know, do some research and, you know, start a broadcast. Or because, you know, my uncle spoke to the Con Ed man and told the Con Ed man that, you know, my niece wrote a play and you act, you know, maybe you want to take a look at it. And, you know, you became the best of friends. And, you know, boy, the stories. Because that Con Ed man introduced me to another actor, and that actor introduced me to another actor who they hadn't seen in years and thought they would be the perfect person for one of the characters and couldn't figure out where that person lived and wanted to get in touch with that person. And one day just happened to be visiting me and said, you know what, I think that person lives around here. And the person lived right across the street. And that person heard that we needed a musician and used to sing on a choir with the musician, with a specific musician, and told that musician and referred me to that musician. And we've been the best friends for decades. And that musician and that actor spoke and they chatted and they said, you know, we know this guy who would be the perfect choir director and vocal arranger, and now that person is a part of the D-Top crew. See, this is how you know that there's a man named Jesus. Because all of these things get connected. And I've just described Al, Tamika, Charlene, Shantice, Dwayne, and KL. The lineage. And, you know, Jesus saved us all. God preserved us all. We all have a former life. We all were crazy at one point. We all did reckless things at one point. But God preserved us for such a time as this. Because he would take all of the madness and the chaos in our life and just put it in one bag for us to use to be able to help to save another life. And lives in countries where women were obsolete. So think about how God preserved you and what he preserved you for. Give him thanks. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, who always comes through big time for us. Thanking you for being a part of the conversation today, participating, and hanging out with us. Thank you so much. Couldn't do it without you. Please do not miss the opportunity to give life, give your life to Jesus, and let him take control. Later is not promised to any of us. until tomorrow, where is Freestyle Friday? And we get to do whatever we want to do. Well, it's only talk to the men. Until then, God spare our life. I love you.